Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Advancements in medical science are rapidly transforming mortality trends, creating both challenges and opportunities for the insurance industry. As new innovations emerge, insurers must adapt their risk selection strategies to keep pace. Breakthroughs in personalized medicine and metabolic health are reshaping underwriting, longevity predictions and pricing models, and understanding and integrating these medical advancements will be crucial for insurers to navigate the changing risk landscape and ensure sustainable coverage in the years ahead. I'm Lori Chortis for AM Best TV, and joining us now to discuss that is Neil Sprackling. He's CEO of Life and Health Re US at Swiss Re. Neil, welcome. So great to see you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, great to see you too, Laurie. And thanks for the invitation to join you today.
Well, Neil, you recently moderated a panel discussion at the annual Refocus Global Conference in Las Vegas. Can you tell us a little bit about that and some of the key takeaways from that discussion?
Sure, Laurie. Right. So it's a really interesting opportunity. I had three doctors with me on the panel from three different reinsurers, one of which was Swiss Re. Each specialist in their own field. And the focus was really on looking at some of the emerging trends from a medical perspective and what we should think about in the context of the life insurance industry. So specifically, we talked about microbiomes. I'm not the doctor in the house, so I'm not going to talk about the medical side of that, but it's very, very interesting in terms of, like, you know, how the body reacts to things that we digest and how it all goes through the sort of the microsystem within the gut, as it were, right? That's the first one. The second one is metabolic health, which I'll come back to in a second in terms of what the trajectory of that is and actually defining that and understanding it in the context of the insurance industry. And the third was on emerging cancer trends. So those were the three kind of medical themes. The takeaways from the session were very interesting. I would say the microbiomes and the metabolic health topic came together. And this is a lot about choices that we make as a consumer. You know, what diet we have, what nutrition, what level of exercise we take, and what impact that is having on the human body. That would be the first thing. And I think the second one is really in the mortality trends we're seeing from cancer and how that's shifting. So I'll give you a tangible example. If you look over the last 30 years and what we've done around smoking cessation, we're seeing a notable decrease in mortality coming from certain cancers like lung, which are obviously directly related to smoking. But we're seeing an increase in certain other cancers, specifically joints, brain, liver. In female lives, it's the uterus. So there's a shift happening there. And we need to understand what this means as we look forward from a life insurance perspective.
Very interesting. Neil, how are recent medical advancements influencing mortality trends and risk selection in the insurance industry?
Yeah, so I think, you know, you build a little bit on some of the themes that were coming out from the panel that I was on. And I would point to a few things. I mean, there's actually quite a lot of different positive factors from a medical advance, which we're all seeing as individuals and consumers, right? But they have an impact on the insurance business as well. Let me get more specific here. And I'll label this around what I call shifting from treating conditions to preventing conditions. So getting on the front foot, right? Actually taking action earlier rather than going into a reactive phase. So let me give you a very tangible example. Multi-cancer early diagnostic tests, bit of a mouthful, known in the profession as MCED. So these are the early detection tests that we're starting to see. One that many people will be familiar with is GRAIL, which is a test that allows you to pick up cancer incidents away from the usual screenings that we would all go through. So those are advancing very quickly. And that is a great thing. It's a great thing for society, great thing for the medical profession, great thing for the insurance industry. I think the second thing I would point to would be the increasing use of GLP-1 drugs. So Ozempic and the such like, right? These are becoming very much more mainstream in wide use now, you know, across the country and in many others as well. And those are good things as well, right? We're seeing some benefits in how you tackle what I would describe as the obesity pandemic. And then the third thing, and this is a broader category I would point to, is just managing obesity more generally and more proactively. right? And maybe we'll come back to that when we talk about metabolic health, because I think that is that's a big topic. The one thing I would add, which is a bit of a sort of a trend that can go both ways, is what should we expect from COVID now that we're kind of past the pandemic? I mean, here we are today, right? Or around now, celebrating, if that's the right choice of word, or acknowledging the fifth anniversary of the COVID-19 pandemic, right? And we've learned a lot about the ongoing effects of the COVID virus on future mortality. So that's what I would say we need to be thinking about as we look forward here.
What role does metabolic health play in shaping excess mortality rates, and how are insurers responding?
So metabolic health is a super interesting area. Another way to think about it is insulin resistance syndrome, which is a bit of a more medical term. And this is really all about how our body reacts to basically what we consume, whether it's from a diet and nutrition perspective. So there's some pretty scary stats around here, Laurie, right? So 70% of US adults are either overweight or obese, and 40% of them are clinically and medically obese. So what that means in practice is that we've got half of our adults that are either type 2 diabetic or pre-diabetic, and one third of them have metabolic syndrome. So this is the insulin dependent syndrome. And usually the criteria for evidence of that syndrome are five things, right? Some of them are kind of a bit medical, and some of the things that you'd understand quite clearly as a consumer. One is raised cholesterol, right? We're all used to going through blood tests and looking at that results from that. Elevated blood sugar would be another. High blood pressure, excess weight in the abdomen, right? And then the one that's a bit of a mouthful is the hypertriglyceridemia, right? So higher triglycerides, right? So if you have three or five of those, you're diagnosed as having the metabolic syndrome. And this is leading to the incidence of type 2 diabetes. And this is putting a huge weight on the medical sector, healthcare in general, and obviously has an effect on the life insurance sector. So the good news about it, whilst it is a sort of what I call the hidden or the undiscussed pandemic, if you want, is that it's preventable and it's reversible. And it's a lot to do with behavioral decisions that we make when it comes to nutrition and how it comes to exercise.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
Absolutely. What trends are you seeing in excess mortality, and how do they compare to pre-pandemic levels?
Yeah, it's really interesting, Laurie, right? So here we are now in early 25, right? And things have settled down a lot. So let's put a few data points around this. Excess mortality, so that's the level of mortality above what we were seeing pre-pandemic, is running at about 1 to 1.5% if we look at data from 2024. And that's an improvement, right? If you go back to 23, it was running at 3 to 4%. So we're trending in the right direction. Things are coming down, but we've still got some of this residual excess mortality that we can observe in both the insured and the general population. A lot of this is to do with the lingering effects of what we often call is long COVID. So people that actually may have actually caught the virus, but ultimately they've suffered for, they may be frailer or have more impact. And we're starting to see that excess coming through. So that is one thing I would say. The other is, whilst the COVID numbers have come down, we're seeing in the first quarter of 2025, one of the worst flu seasons that we've seen since pre-pandemic. So, okay, so COVID comes down, but flu goes up, right? And we see, rates of hospitalization, we see mortality rates increasing, certainly in the first few months of 2025. So that at a high level is some of the trends that we're seeing around excess mortality. So my message to everybody is, This is good news. It's coming down, but continue to pay attention to this because we still have excess mortality. So a higher number of people dying than we expected compared to pre-pandemic.
Neil, looking ahead, what challenges and opportunities do insurers face as medical innovations reshape longevity expectations?
Yeah, so let me go back to something I was talking about a moment ago around the metabolic health topic. So let's pick GLP-1 drugs, right? So this is a fast emerging area of treatment for obesity. I would say we are at early stages of understanding the impact of GLP-1 drugs, both in terms of the positive benefits of weight loss, but also the side effects, and also just natural human behavior, Laurie. So people's adherence to these drugs. So if they start taking them, do they stay taking them? So I think those are positives, right? We're seeing impact on that. And actually, there's some data coming through from last year that is showing that obesity rates in the United States are coming down. And you'd have to attribute some of that to the use of GLP-1 drugs. That's good, right? The other side of it is just to say, we're learning about side effects. We're learning about adherence. And also just some practical aspects around supply and demand. The demand is going up, and the supply has got to continue to sort of be able to meet that demand. However, when I go back to the topic of metabolic health, a lot of this is around how we decide to behave as human beings, the decisions we make, the level of exercise we undertake, the types of things that we decide to consume. So let me be more specific. The fast food pandemic that we see ourselves in, those five criteria I talked about earlier, right? Excess weight, high blood pressure. These are exacerbated by things like ultra processed and fast food. Those are decisions that as consumers we take. So my point here is the GLP-1 drugs are definitely a help in us leading longer, healthier, happier lives. But we've also got to see some behavioral change that comes along with it. We can't expect the GLP-1 drugs to be the panacea, right? The holy, the sort of like the solution to all of the issues around the pandemic. So I think that's good. And then the other thing I would just say is we are seeing more in the life insurance sector, more personalized decisions based on information that we have available to individual consumers. We've just struck a partnership, for example, with a company called Navier, which allows a consumer like you and me to bring together all of our health information in one place and then look for the right treatments and interventions, right? And this is good, right? It's personalized, it's about you, it's about me, and it gives us access to things that are very much around our personal situation rather than broader health benefits. So I think this is good. And if you put it into the context of the life insurance industry, we're starting to see much more automation, the use of tools that allow underwriting decisions to be made using electronic health data by bringing together medical information from doctors that allow us to make quicker and faster decisions for the end consumer. So these are all good things, right? And these will lead to ultimately better outcomes for consumers. And also allow us to give, more personalized decisions around how we underwrite risks for life insurance.
That's wonderful. Well, Neil, this has been so interesting, so informative, and I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today.
That's fine, Laurie. Appreciate being given the opportunity to meet with you and speak today as well. Thank you very much.
That was Neil Sprackling, CEO of Life and Health Re US at Swiss Re. And for AM Best TV, I'm Laurie Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.